Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Welcome to Divine Parables, a series here on the Qalam podcast, which explores the metaphors, the examples that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives to us within the Quran. Mufti Hussein Kamani will go through in depth an analysis of all the different parables that are present within the Quran. So inshallah, go ahead, listen, benefit, share with family and friends, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from all of us. Before we get started with the session, once again, I wanted to remind everyone that alhamdulillah, Qalam is dedicated to bringing this kind of understanding and knowledge of Islam to each and every single person all around the world. We ask you to become our partners in this endeavor by supporting the work that Qalam does by going to supportqalam.com. Supportqalam.com. Go there, contribute, donate, become a sustainer, and have this as a sadaqah jariyah. Every single person that will listen, that will learn, that will benefit from it, you will have the reward of that. Jazakumullahu khairan. Now let's get on with the session. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillah. الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى خصوصا على سيد الرسل وخاتم الأنبياء وعلى آله الأتقياء وأصحابه الأتقياء أما بعد. The human being has a lot of arrogance when it comes to the intellect of the insan. And generally speaking, we are willing to accept a message as long as it's logical. And that has great merits. It's actually very important that we understand what's being told to us. Someone tells you that this is a method of doing something. As a Muslim, you are encouraged and you have every right to ask that person what the reasoning behind this is. What's the proof behind this? Engaging and investigating. With that said though, remember that there are certain secrets in the world, certain realities in the world that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed that are beyond the understanding of the human being. No matter how advanced our intellect becomes, no matter how advanced we become with our science and our research, these secrets of Allah will continue to remain secrets. Sometimes what happens is that the human being continues to penetrate and push, trying to create logic behind this. And what we end up doing at times is associating faulty logic to something that we don't understand. So before I move forward, I want to establish something. The Quran reminds us of this reality again and again, that there are certain things that are out of the will of Allah and they have no other explanation. And these are referred to the mu'jizat. Every prophet came with a mu'jiza. Something that they did that was special, that was a sign and symbol of their prophecy, which had no other explanation other than this was done by the permission, guidance, help, assistance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Be it a prophet of Allah throwing his staff on the ground and it consumes the small snakes around it. Be it a prophet throwing his staff in the water and that body of water separates into two. Now you can go and try to provide all the scientific explanations you'd like. But at the end of the day, as Muslims, we will always view these as miracles. That this happened because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala willed for it to happen. These issues in Islam are called khariqul adat. A mu'jiza by definition is khariqun lil adah, which means that it goes against what the norm is. It goes against what the common understanding of the human being is. Now these khariqul adat can occur at the hands of prophets, and they can also occur at the hand of non-prophets too. So when something out of the norm occurs by the doing of a prophet, the technical term for this is mu'jiza. And the reason why we call it mu'jiza is because it has the nature of i'jaz. I'jaz means to silence someone, to hush someone, to leave them incapable. That in this debate and argument, you ask for a miracle, here's the miracle, you have no other response to this at all. It creates i'jaz, ijaz in a person. It humbles them. Then when it occurs with a non-prophet, a pious servant of Allah, we call this very same thing, karama. It's an honor. Karama means an honor from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Karamat, these miracles that occur at the hands of the pious servants of Allah, this is a reality in our deen, and you will find more than one scholar. In their works of Aqidah on Islamic belief, they will write, Karamatul Awliya'i Haqqun. That the miracles that occur at the hands of the friends of Allah, this is a reality. It cannot be denied. Because it is embedded within the Quran itself that non-prophets, people who are not prophets, miracles occurred at their hands. And there are so many stories. From Khadir alayhi salam to the mother of Musa alayhi salam to the mother of Isa alayhi salam. These were all friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yet miracles occurred at their hands. We open up the books of hadith and we find so many narrations. Imam Ibn Kathir rahmatullahi alayhi, Imam Shamsuddin al-Dhahabi rahmatullahi alayhi, both of them narrate a very interesting incident regarding a companion whose name is Uqasha bin Muhsin radiallahu anhu. He was one of the earlier companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Imam Dhahabi writes regarding him, Imam Ibn Kathir rahmatullahi alayhi says regarding him, كَانَ مِنْ سَادَاتِ الصَّحَابَ وَفُضَلَائِهِمْ. He was from the leading and the most virtuous of the companions. هَاجَرَ وَشَهِدَ بَدْرًا. He migrated to Medina Munawwara. He also participated in the Battle of Badr. On that day, he was tested by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with a great test. What was his test? إِنْكَسَرَ سَيْفِ. His sword was broken. He was fighting in the battlefield on the day of Badr, and his sword broke. When his sword broke, he turned to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فَأَعْطَاهُ رَسُولُ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave him asa, a stick. Now he took this stick, and he had this oud, or this urjunan min nakhl, a branch of a tree in his hand. فَعَادَ بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ فِي يَدِهِ سَيْفًا. He swung that stick, and it became a sword. And he continued to fight with the stick, which was now in the shape of a sword. فَقَاتَلَ بِهِ وَشَهِدَ بِهِ الْمَشَاهِدِ. He fought with that sword in that battlefield, and he continued to fight with that very same stick, which had now become a sword. Not in one battle, but al-mashahid, but in multiple battles. This is just one small example, but there are so many examples of this occurring that we find in our tradition and also in our history. Now, one thing I want to make very clear, that generally when miracles occur, the human being, either some of them are in denial of it altogether, that this can't be possible. Some of us try to rationalize it into our own understanding, which if it works for you, great. But if it doesn't, just understand that this is the power and will of Allah, and Allah can give to whoever He wishes. But then there's a third group of people who get carried away. When they see miracles, they aren't able to digest the reality of what's happening in front of them, that this is actually the power of Allah. And they associate that divine power to the human being. And this is where shirk actually takes its birth. Great people came in the history of mankind who were honored by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether they were prophets or friends of Allah. Allah azza wa jal honored them with some miracles. The people who saw these miracles, they didn't understand that these miracles were actually from Allah, yet they were occurring at the hand of the human being. All the human being was a tool. But they associated that miracle originating from that human being. And then you found gullible human beings falling prey of this trap of shaitan. And in some circumstances, they went as far as making these individuals who had some unique miracles to be from the gods themselves. Or they attributed divine attributes to them. One of the greatest scholars in Islamic history, who you can clearly see this with, is a great Hanbali scholar by the name of Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani rahimahullah ta'ala. Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani rahimahullah was known as the greatest scholar of Baghdad. Very great scholar. This person was so great that Imam Nawawi rahmatullahi alayhi writes regarding him. Izzuddin ibn Abdus Salam writes regarding him. And these are two great scholars from our tradition. They both write regarding him that there is no person in Islamic history whose miracles have reached us through tawatur. Tawatur means undeniable proof. Like so many miracles occurred at this man's hand that it cannot be denied at all. This man was truly a house of miracles. He was a very pious, righteous person. But you look at people, some people, they saw his miracles, they begin to exaggerate and they begin to push the limit. And rather than understanding that he was a servant of Allah, who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honored, they started attributing divine attributes to him. And now you go to some parts of the world, rather than even calling him Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani, they refer to him in certain parts of the world, وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ as غَوْث أَعْظَمْ وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. غَوْث means a source of power and strength. Istighatha means to seek help, to seek power and strength. Al-A'adha meaning they call him the greatest source of power. And I say this one more time, وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. This is unfortunately a sad reality. That person was a friend of Allah. People misunderstood him, misunderstood what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honored him with. And not only did they disgrace him, you know, not that it affects his person, but his name, his honor, his remembrance by attributing shirky statements to him, but they also led people astray as well. Now, keeping this in mind, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings this issue to our attention. In verse number 59 and verse number 60 of Surah Al-Imran, this surah was revealed in response to a discussion that occurred between Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and a caravan, a delegation that came from Yemen, Najran, to have a discussion and debate with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They came and sat in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It was 40 priests against Rasulullah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam accepted their challenge to a public debate. And when they sat in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they began to engage with him. Imam Fakhruddin al-Razi says, أَجْمَعَ الْمُفَسِّرُونَ عَلَىٰ أَنَّ هَذِهِ الْآيَةُ نَزَلَتْ عِنْدَ حُضُورِ وَفْدِ نَجْرَانَ عَلَىٰ الرَّسُولِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ وَكَانَ مِنْ جُمْلَةِ شُبَهِهِمْ أَنْ قَالُوا يَا مُحَمَّدْ لَمَّا سَلَّمْتَ أَنَّهُ لَا أَبَ لَهُ مِنَ الْبَشَرِ وَجَبَ أَنْ يَكُونَ أَبُوهُ هُوَ اللَّهُ. They were talking about Isa alayhi salam, and they said, O Muhammad, you have accepted, as a part of their debate, you've accepted that Isa alayhi salam had no father. We accept that, you accept that. So if he had no father, you see, now this is something that's complex for the human mind to understand. And when we get in these situations, as I told you, sometimes we apply faulty logic. And the faulty logic they provided was, if he has no father, the only other possibility could be his father is Allah Azza wa Jal, wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah wa la ayadu billah. So that at this point, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he received revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the example of the creation of the human being. That you're complexed by the creation of Isa alayhi salam, one servant of ours. Let me tell you the origin of the entire race. Let's go back to the beginning of the story to Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam. You're complexed because Isa alayhi salam didn't have a father. But when it comes to Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam, he did not have a father or a mother. Inna mathala Isa inda Allah kamathali Adam. The example of Isa alayhi salam by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is like the example of Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam. Look at him. خَلَقَهُ مِن تُرَاب. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created him from soil. ثُمَّ قَالَ لَهُ. Then Allah said to that soil, كُن بِي فَيَكُون. And it came into existence. الْحَقُّ مِن رَبِّكَ فَلَا تَكُم مِنَ الْمُمْتَرِينَ. This is a truth from your Lord. This is a reality. And you can't deny it, and don't be in any doubt. فَلَا تَكُمْ مِنَ الْمُمْتَدِينَ. Don't be from those who doubt the ability of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can do as He wishes. And in the Quran, again and again, Allah azza wa jal says, إِنَّمَا أَمْرُهُ إِذَا أَرَادَ شَيْئًا أَن يَقُولَ لَهُ كُنْ فَيَكُونَ. Nothing's beyond the ability of Allah. Your ration and your intellect doesn't encompass or limit Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His ability. Now in this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, خَلَقَهُ مِن تُرَاب. Allah azza wa jal created Adam alayhi salam from soil. Now the ulama engage in a brief discussion, and I wish to cover this briefly as we close off. Why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mention specifically that Adam alayhi salam was created from soil? Now we learn in the Quran that there were many different components that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the insan from. خَلَقَهُ مِن سُلَالَةٍ مِن طِين. خَلَقَهُ مِن طِين. خَلَقَ مِنَ الْمَاءِ بَشَرًا. So there are so many verses in the Quran that tell us that there were different components used for the creation of Adam alayhi salam. Why does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala repeatedly emphasize the turab, the soil part of it? So the ulama, they say, the first thing, the reason is so that the human being remembers, لِيَكُونَ مُتَوَاضِعًا. That always be humble. Soil is a humble creation. Nobody pays any value for it. Nobody sells it in the market. So always remain humble. Number two, لِيَكُونَ سَتَّارًا. Soil has the ability to cover things, conceal things. People take the dirt, filth, and smelly things in the world and bury it in the soil. So you should learn to conceal on behalf of your fellow human beings. Learn to conceal on behalf of the creation. The third thing, لِيَكُونَ أَشَدَّ إِلْتِسَاقًا بِالْأَرْضِ. That the human being sticks to the earth and focuses on what happens in the earth. Because when you focus on fulfilling the rights of the earth and everything above the earth, at that point you will be able to hold the title إِنِّي جَاعِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ Khalifa. You will be the Khalifa. You will be someone who looks over and is responsible over the land that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created. Imam Fakhruddin al-Razi mentions another very beautiful point. He says that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the insan from soil, He did this to prove His power, to show His greatness. How is that? خَلَقَ الشَّيَاطِينَ مِنَ النَّارِ أَلَّتِي هِيَ أَضْوَأُ الْأَجْرَامِ وَابْتَلَاهُمْ بِظُلُمَاتِ الظَّلَالَةِ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the jinn from fire. And the fire is, he says, أَضْوَأُ الْأَجْرَامِ Out of all of the أَجْرَام is kind of like, what's the word? Anyone? أَجْرَام? Substance, you can call it substance or particles. I think particles are better. Out of all the particles in the world, أَضْوَأُ الْأَجْرَامِ it is the most enlightened, most bright particle and substance that exists. Yet, even though they were created from the most enlightened and most bright substance, they went into the greatest point of darkness. Until the point where Allah's punishment came on them in the dunya, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replaced their honor and gave it to the insan. Then he says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala خَلَقَ الْمَلَائِكَةَ مِنَ الْهَوَاءِ الَّذِي هُوَ أَلْتَفُ الْأَجْرَامِ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the malaika from light. And light is the most light and light. It's not so heavy of a substance. It's a very light substance in that sense. Yet, أَعْطَاهُمْ كَمَارِ الشُّدَّةِ وَالْقُوَّةِ Even though they were created from a substance that doesn't weigh much, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted them the greatest strength. You find them at the gates of Jannah and Jahannam, taking the soul of the human being, and so on. Allah خَلَقَ آدَمَ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ مِنَ التُّرَابِ الَّذِي هُوَ أَكْثَفُ الْأَجْرَامِ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Adam alayhi salam from soil, which is the most compact substance. Soil is very compact, it's very dense. Right? Very concentrated. ثُمَّ أَعْطَاهُ الْمَحَبَّةَ وَالْمَعْرِفَةَ وَالنُّورَ وَالْهِدَايَةَ And then in this compact substance, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave the insan the ability to know Allah, the ability to be honorable, light, guidance. خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ مِنْ أَمْوَاجِ مِيَاهِ الْبِحَارِ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the skies from water particles, from water substance. And then what did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala do? أَبْقَاهَا مُعَلَّقَ فِي الْهَوَىٰ He left that water suspended in the heavens. Why did He do this? حَتَّى يَكُونَ خَلْقُهُ هَذِهِ الْأَجْرَامِ بُرْهَانًا بَاهِرًا وَدَلِيلًا ظَاهِرًا عَلَىٰ أَنَّهُ تَعَالَى هُوَ الْمُدَبِّرُ بِغَيْرِ احْتِيَاجِ Why did Allah do all of this? Created all of these creations from different substances, yet gave them the opposite ability to prove to mankind, to prove to the world that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does what He wants and isn't limited by any one person, isn't limited by any means. And this is what this ayah is teaching us, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's ability is not limited. We pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants us the ability to understand this beautiful lesson. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala sayyidina Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.